Here at WFOD, we've gone through painstaking lengths to be socially responsible. That's why, for every download of our program, we're donating an additional download to a child in need in, like, Haiti or something.
Get ready. WFOD.
Wow!
What are you kids watching?
The newsletter's turned into a werewolf.
Welcome to this thing we call the Dubfod. My name is Mike. I am joined by my good friend, the king of pranks, the albino alligator, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hey there. Did you notice I fixed my Twitter bio to add a couple of more of those nicknames there? I like deleted some things so I could get the rest of the nicknames on the Twitter bio.
The important stuff like links to the show and stuff. Get rid of all that.
Yeah, I deleted more nicknames. All the rest of the nicknames.
And guys, our guest tonight is a film icon with more credits than I could possibly read off. Her new book is called Born, Giving Birth to a New You. The birthday girl, Dee Wallace, is on the program.
Hi, Mikey.
Hi, Dee. Travis, should we sing happy birthday to Scream Queen Dee Wallace? We should sing happy birthday, shouldn't we?
Yeah, to kick off this thing, the first thing we should do is sing happy birthday.
Oh, dear.
Is this awkward? We just met, Dee. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, legendary Dee Wallace. Happy birthday to you.
OMG, guys. OMG. Thank you. I said, Mike, you're the only person I agreed to talk to on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Feel honored.
Wow, Travis. Dee, I have a feeling that this is... Do you remember the Chris Farley sketch when he interviewed Paul McCartney and he just like said, hey, you remember when you were in that thing? That was cool. Like, you remember when you were in the Beatles? That was cool. That's probably what this is going to turn into, because you've been in so many things that are great. Travis, I think my favorite is The Frighteners, which is probably a deep cut.
Oh, I love The Frighteners.
I mean, sure...
Yeah, it's such an underrated film.
Why did nobody go see The Frighteners? They were wrong. It had everything.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, Universal, some other movie wasn't finished, so Universal released it in the midsummer with all the other big blockbusters, and it got lost.
Oh, it got buried.
They should have brought it out at Halloween, which was the original plan. And we would still be watching it today.
There's a lot of love for that movie, I think. You know, I liken it to, you know, it took many, many years for Halloween Part 3 to get its just desserts. And I feel like The Frighteners is on the precipice of getting that widespread acclaim from people.
Well, I hope so, because there's some tremendous performances in it.
Dee, can you explain this book to me, because I read the description and I'm an uneducated man, Dee. I don't understand.
I got my feet up, you know.
is it self-help? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, I can explain.
Okay.
Look, I spend half my life doing horror films and the other half of my life as a teacher and mentor teaching people how to heal from fear. Somehow it works really well for me, so I just go with it.
You said
how do you have time to spend? You say half of your life working in movies and television, and then the other half working in kind of spiritual self-help. You're in so much stuff all the time. You must have like four times the life that most people have, because you're doing the
work. I have a lot of energy. I do have a lot of energy. And I have to say, I'm happiest when I'm creating. So I just get up every day and go, okay, what can I create today? And during the pandemic, I got up and said, all right, there's a lot of limitations, supposedly. What can I create today? And my channel said, write a book. So I did. I wanted to write a book that gives everybody the formula for how to manifest whatever they want to manifest in their life in a simple, fun, easy to read way that's just bam, 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 bam. Here's the eight steps. So that's what it is. Giving birth to a new you.
Is this like a The Secret, D? It's like a like thinking about stuff.
Well, it's, you know, The Secret. I look at The Secret as the kindergarten.
Oh, okay.
Of all this, that it introduced us to writing and reading in a simple way. But I explain in Born, the beauty about Born is it takes religion, spirituality, and brain science and shows you how they're all saying the same thing. So it's not happenstance, because it's science. And the science takes on a miraculously spiritual experience when you apply the formula, because you sit back and you go, wow, my life is just unfolding in a great way here. So what I want everybody to know is that it's really easy to do this, but you have to, like anything, you have to know how.
If anybody's going to listen to anybody in these things, in these, you know, self-help journeys, you know, are you going to listen to some bum that you've never heard of, or are you going to listen to Dee Wallace, who's like one of the most prolific artists of our generation?
Well, thank you. I am a pretty good creator, I must say. This is my sixth book. I have over 250 movie and television appearances, film appearances. Now I have a talk show that is close to its 600th episode on Sunday mornings. And I just love what I do. I love everything that I do. And I think that's a big part of it. If you don't love what you do, you better find something that you love to do, because the universe really gets it if you don't love it. You know, it's like saying to a lover, hey, I'd really like to, you know, hook up with you, but I don't like sex. You know, it's kind of the same thing. And the universe goes, well, hell, I can't bring you what you want because part of you doesn't want it.
Yeah, you seem nice and all, but I'm not into that kind of thing. That's what you say.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And in your career, like, you've had multiple things that double dip, and I'm thinking of particularly the movie Red Christmas, right? Where didn't the filmmaker make a documentary on the trials and tribulations of actually making that motion picture? So for every project that you make, there's sometimes two.
Yes,
that's cheating.
And he very kindly gave me a producer credit on that. I had a ball doing Red Christmas. Anybody wants a really fun horror Christmas film that you haven't seen yet?
And that documentary is wonderful. Like, I watched the documentary before I watched them, because I got turned on to the documentary by the Movie Crypt guys. Adam Green and Joel Lynch had brought it up on their podcast. And so I sought out the documentary and watched that first, and then watched the movie, which was a wonderful way to experience that project.
Yeah. And I just loved, you know, we did it in Australia. Everybody's Australian but me. I loved working down there and working with the director and all the actors. I just had a great experience. And you know how it came to me, talking about the magic of the universe. You see, somebody in my acting studio knew the director producer in Australia, and he said, hey, do you think you could get Dee Wallace to talk to me about a script? And so my friend in acting class asked me, I said, hell yes, tell him let's Zoom. And we Zoomed, fell in love with him, read the script, loved the idea of the script, and, you know, it just snowballed from there. But you see, most people think, well, you have to know exactly, you have to know the exact project that you're creating. Well, I didn't even know that E.T. was out there. Steven just called and offered it to me.
Yeah, what are you going to do, say no?
I mean, I live kind of a magical life, yeah. Guys, I do.
Dee, I hate to break it to you, but that's why we lured you here. We're going to pitch a script idea to you. Travis,
are you going to pitch it? Are you going to pitch her Concrete Jungle or Clown Motel?
Oh, God, they're both so good, Travis. See, we got giant tiger movie. Dee, that would starring, be a hit.
Our wish list for the starring scientist roles are Michael Keaton and Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, that'd be great. Great, either of them. Dee will make you a scientist. That would be awesome,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, let's fire Richard Dreyfuss, and Dee Wallace is now
Richard
the scientist
Dreyfuss
who
is mean, a hack,
means
Travis.
Well. Or Clown Motel. Would she be the
head clown? I'm not playing the clown.
The head clown, Dee.
You could run the hotel, maybe.
Dee, this is a podcast. I don't know if you've paid attention to podcasts recently, but the hottest thing in podcasting right now is behind-the-scenes stories about The Office. Like, everyone who is on The Office has a podcast about The Office. And you were on The Office, so
really?
I was hoping you had some hot goss.
I was on The Office.
That we could, like, clip.
Well, it was kind of a weird experience to me because...
Oh, this is so good, Travis.
I thought I'd be walking into some place where we could do a lot of improv, you know?
Yeah.
And just kind of like the series Sons and Daughters that I did. But that, yeah, that wasn't... It wasn't so much improv, but it sure looked like it, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Were you angry that you didn't get to join in on the song with your screen son and screen husband, like to sing with them?
The Nard Dog.
Well, I just had some really cool ideas that I would have liked to have explored, but there wasn't time or inclination.
Who was the director on that episode? Let's call that director out. Was that Paul Feig?
Yeah, listen, the director actually studied acting with me.
Oh, really?
And wanted to know if I would come in and do it. And I loved him to death. It's just the way the show went.
At that point, know? That show probably was, it was just like a finely tuned machine where it was like, boom.
Oh,
boom,
sure.
Yeah.
Like everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dee, I got a message in the chat room. We're live right now. And a guy said, Cujo wasn't nothing but McGruff the crime dog before he got clean. Can you confirm that?
Cujo. Look, there were 13 dogs that played Cujo.
Wasn't there? They're robot dogs.
And they were
too,
all
right?
Trained. They were all trained to go after toys, and we had to tie their tails down so you didn't see them wagging all the time. We were never afraid of the dogs, except, I mean, these dogs were so freaking well trained, you guys, within an inch of their lives. There was only one accident. Fortunately, it was not with me. Well, that's
was
not
it with
true.
The kid?
I did. No,
it was with a stunt woman,
you jerk. And it was with a stunt woman. And but it's my favorite movie of mine.
Well, you acted the hell out of that
and
movie.
The hardest thing I've ever done.
Speaking of robots and stuff, Travis, I read earlier in another interview with Dee that she said that when E.T. was walking around, that was a boy with no legs walking on his hands.
Yes. Yeah, that's how they got that really distinct walk.
Where do you find a boy with no legs? How does that happen? I guess you're probably not the person to talk to about that, right?
I'm not the person to talk to about that. I just walked in and said hi.
I wonder if Steven Spielberg says, find me a boy with no legs. That's what we need for.
Well, I don't, you know, that's an interesting story. I should ask. I do a lot of cons with the boys now. I'm going to ask them if they know that story about how Steven found
him. I guess the question is, like, do you have the boy with no legs and it works out? Or do you need a boy with no legs and find a boy with no legs because that's the idea? Do you work with what you have? Or
find what you need.
Or find
No. I'm sure that was the plan. I'm sure that was.
Wow.
And I'm ashamed that I cannot remember his name right now. He does a few of the conventions with us.
Oh, you're still in contact with the boy with no legs?
Yeah. Well, he's a grown man now. He's a wonderful, incredible human being. Can do anything on that skateboard. I mean, anything. It's amazing to watch him.
So you're doing conventions with Henry Thomas and things then too? You're keeping touch with him?
Yeah, Henry Thomas and Robert McNaughton and I.
Is that not amazing what happened with that man? Like, he did E.T. and he was a child actor and he kind of just disappeared for years. And now he's having what do you call that? Like a Henry Yonison?
A renaissance.
Yeah, like a Thomasance. I don't know. It's like in Midnight Mass and the other Mike Flanagan things that he's doing, he's just amazing. And he's been amazing since he's, I guess, essentially made a comeback. What do you think about that?
I think it's fabulous. Are you kidding?
Yeah, right.
And I want to work with Mike Flanagan. I think he's a brilliant director.
Yeah, he bats 100% in my book. Like everything he's put out so far. Mike Flanagan is director of Hush and things.
He made that awesome movie with the deaf gal
Hush.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
Yeah, it's so good. And Mike Flanagan is just constantly, everything he puts out, I've yet to find something that I'm like, maybe that was a miss for him. And, everything has just been wonderful.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if I see you in his next maxi series.
Let's use my creation process to start creating.
Right. This. Just
let's do it.
Work it up in your mind and it'll be so. You just got to believe.
Well, not exactly. It actually is more important what you feel in your heart about stuff.
Oh.
The more you love something and the more joy it gives you, the more it comes to you. And that's one of the big things I talk about in Born, because most people say what they want by saying what they don't want. What do you want?
Do you mean?
Well, I don't want to have to worry about money. Well, what do you want? Well, I hate not having any money. Well, that's not going to bring money to you.
You've got to love whatever
you want to attract to yourself.
So you're saying the precursor of negative thinking is the thing that's stopping it.
Well, yeah. And it's brain science. You have to teach your brain to default to the positive. But we're taught from the time we're little itty bitty people, to say what we don't want in order to get what we want.
Because most of the time, wouldn't you agree that our brain is acting as like a gatekeeper? It's trying to keep out the negative, so it defaults to the negative.
Huh?
What?
Don't you think that we default to the negative because our brain is trying to guard us from negative things?
No, I think your mind is.
So you're saying don't be stupid and
think
negative stuff?
I don't think your brain
is. And so you're saying negative stuff because you're calling yourself stupid for thinking negative stuff? Is that what you're saying?
We need to get Mike a copy of this book because I know a lot of people.
I'm a negative guy.
Mike,
I don't mean to be.
Negative Nancy.
Mike, shame on you.
I try not to be. I try to be a good guy, but I'm not.
Well, try and stand up, Mike.
Yeah. D, we had a guest
Either
on.
Stand up or you don't.
We had a guest on a couple of weeks ago. He was the creator of the video game character Q-Bert. And 2 weeks later, Mike messages me and says, I listened back to that interview. I don't think that guy liked me.
D,
I like you, Mike.
D, I believe you. Yeah, I mean, you are a really good actor, though. But yeah, when I listened back to that Warren Davis interview, Travis, I swear I got a vibe. And I cut out some of it. So, like, when you listen to it, you might not think so. But the stuff that I cut out, I'll share with you later.
So you're editing the interview based on what you think he thinks of you?
I wanted to make sure it seemed like Warren liked me, Travis.
You're filtering out. You're keeping the whole unfiltered interview away from the people.
Yeah, totally. I'm totally doing that.
All right.
Kind of like Congress, you know?
Put your best foot forward, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. Depends what network you turn to on what you're going to see.
Dee, I have to ask you one cliche question.
Okay.
Has there been anything that you've turned down that turned out to be like a big, huge hit that you wish you would have done?
That I turned down? Yes.
Like somebody knocked it out of the park?
One of Ron Howard's first pictures, and what's her name from Cheers did it, and she played a hooker in it.
Christy Alley?
No.
The other one, Shelley Long.
The blonde. Yeah, Shelley Long. And back then, my little Kansas girl inside went, oh, my God, I can't play a hooker. What will my grandmother say? So, of course, cut to 5 years later or whatever it was. And I actually did an episode of Lou Grant called The Hooker, which is what got me 10.
Isn't that what got you? E.T. Is playing a hooker?
What?
Didn't somebody see you as a hooker and cast you in E.T.? Because they saw you that?
No.
Okay. I don't know what I'm talking about, Dee. Don't listen to me. I'm cutting this out, by the way.
You're reading Wikipedia again, Mike.
They saw me play the hooker, and Lynn Stallmaster thought I was so good that they called me in for 10. And Blake hired me before I even got back to my car.
That's Blake Edwards, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
One of my favorites.
Talking about your career and your long story career, which just keeps going on. I mean, I glanced at your IMDb today, you know, because that's the kind
of research. I've been busy this year.
Yeah, that's the kind of research I do, is I glance at an IMDb. you got 8 things in the pipeline just coming out, you know, soon. But, you know, you've had such a long career. Is there a certain directorial style that you gravitate towards? Was there a certain director or filmmaker that you worked with?
Oh, I would have died to work with Alan Parker. Oh. I always wanted to work with Alan Parker. Always have wanted to work with Anthony Hopkins.
That seems like your paths would have crossed at some point.
Kevin Bacon, Travis. I'm sure they're
Kevin Bacon.
One apart.
Six degrees. Yeah, there was probably like a half a degree between Dee Wallace and Anthony Hopkins.
Guys, it's Dee Wallace's birthday. She's probably got cake to eat and stuff. Guys, her book, it's called Born, Giving Birth to a New You. It's on Amazon. Should I send people to Amazon, or do you have like a preferred bookseller I should send people to?
Barnes & Noble or Amazon, they can get it on either one. Or if they want a signed copy,
ooh,
they can buy one at imdwallace.com.
Slick. Any place else that you want people to find you on the internet besides socials or anything like that?
Oh, you know, I'm all over the place, guys.
Perfect.
I'm not going to go through all my social media. They'll find me.
They'll find
They probably have already found
type,
me.
Type in Dee Wallace. Find her on the socials. If you listen to this live, wish her a happy birthday. If you listen to this in podcast form, wish her a belated happy birthday.
Yeah, I'll take all the birthday wishes I can get.
Dee, it was a pleasure talking to you. We appreciate your time. Happy birthday.
You too.
And hopefully,
thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Always
so
have such fun with you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dee.
Appreciate it.
Travis, Dee Wallace is awesome.
That's so wonderful. I was having a funk. You know, we discussed that funk I was in. That was wonderful.
And Travis, not every day you get to sing happy birthday to E.T.'s mom.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No. The mom who kept her kid from being eaten by Cujo.
There you go.
We got to sing her happy birthday. It was that was wonderful.
There you go. Guys, we're going to take a break. I think Drunk is here. I think he might be waiting outside. We'll see. We'll be back.
Does this movie have horses? We're watching it for you. Does this movie have horses? We're watching it for you. Does this movie have horses? We're watching it for you. Does this movie have horses? We're watching it for you.
Thank you to Starry Spice for this week's horse report. She watched the Netflix movie Unforgivable and says there's no horses. Jody also checked in to let us know that Deck the Halls has two horses in it.
WFOG.
This has gone on for days. How do we stop it?
I'm afraid we can't. All we can do is pray that the Mecha Schumer doesn't come this way and ruin everything we love.
Oh no, you spoke too soon. Here it comes. Run, Lenny, run!
Ain't no use running. I'm tired of running.
But Lenny, the jokes are worse than the destruction. We have to run.
It's all shit anyway. Let's just get it over with.
She's right on top of us, Lenny!
Rawr. My pussy smells like rusty nails, even when I'm not on my period. Rawr. I'm such a whore. My pussy is like throwing a hot dog down an elevator shaft.
Ah! You're so funny and original! Ha ha ha! It's working! Try it with me next time!
Rawr! Want to hear me queef? It sounds like the whoosh when you send an email.
Ha ha ha! Man, that was so funny! Ha ha ha! By God, it's working!
We have to warn the others!
No! No, the others are on their own on this one. If everyone is woke, no one is woke. The Mecha Schumer must be fed.
Welcome to hell, motherfucker!
Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Welcome back. Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. D. Wallace,
Drunk, you weren't here to help sing happy birthday to D. Wallace.
I'm very sorry.
Travis, through the whole first half of the show, there was police activity out in front of my house. And so people probably heard my dogs barking at the police through the entire D. Wallace interview. D. Wallace for sure thinks that we're unprofessional as shit.
They actually stopped. They were barking the entire time while we were on the call together until the show started, and then you couldn't hear them at all.
So the police, they were walking up my driveway, and I was like, hey, Laura, the police are coming. And she goes, what? And I said, there's police walking up. Like, what should I do? Because if I open the front door, the dogs are going to come out there, and they're going to shoot my dogs. Because that's what the police do, right? They're not going to fuck around.
Yeah, if they don't kick them, they shoot them.
So I went out in the garage. Yeah, I did like the airlock system where I go out in the garage, and then I open the garage. That way I can greet the police who are coming to my house. Yeah, I don't know why.
It's like an alien situation where you're trying to keep the alien out of the main bay of the ship.
Right. And that's where I learned it from, Travis. They had already realized their error and gone two doors down to talk to them. So
did you ask them what was going on?
No, they had already left. So I just closed the garage and went back inside. But then another
Are you on the next door? Are you on like the next door app? Do you know what's going on in your neighborhood right now?
Usually it's just somebody saying, hey, did you guys hear gunshots? And everybody's like, yep, I heard them. And that's it. Nobody knows shit, Travis. Keep your head down. You know what I'm saying? We did get a music submission that I'm pretty excited about that I wanted to share with you, Travis.
Was it a follow-up to the Winter Break Kid?
Well, no, it's a new gal. And this is interesting because we got this submission in mid-November, Travis, but when I Googled it, it dates back to 2016. So it's another situation where this person made one song and every year brings the song back out.
Nothing wrong with that.
Everybody's trying to capture that.
Mariah Carey's been making a living off that for 20 years.
So it is a Christmas song. Drunk, I would like to give you a pen, and I would like for you to keep track of something, if you could. It'll become pretty evident, I think, early on what it is that I'm asking you to keep track of. Sure. But Travis, this song is called Santa Don't Pass Me By. It's by an artist, T-A-N-I-L-L-E. Tanil?
Tanil.
Let's boogie on this one. This is a good one. This will get you in the spirit, Travis, I think. Is she crying or is she horny?
She's doing the Britney Spears thing where Britney Spears gets down.
What's the Santa counter at right now, Drunk? We're at five? Five Santas.
Five Santas.
Seems like it would have been a lot. Travis, I wrote Santa Don't Pass Me By when I was missing my love at holiday times. Things got a little confused. He thought I meant one thing and I meant something else. I started thinking about what would I do if I didn't hear from him before Christmas. Knowing how much I missed him, knowing how magical the season is, it would be my only Christmas wish for Santa to bring him back. Love is such a big part of the holiday season. It is my favorite time of the year.
Those are lyrics?
No, that's what she wrote to me. She's selling this Christmas song to me, Travis. Santa, don't pass me by.
Hmm.
Tennille is a multi-talented songstress who writes her own lyrics, no shit, and produces the musical arrangements for her fresh new songs. Her soulful sound is uniquely reminiscent of those lyrically passionate club groove beats of the 80s.
Very reminiscent. Watching the fire pulling your face. I don't. You sure that wasn't a bunch of like a team of like 16 writers?
So, Travis, the real question is, could you shovel your driveway to this?
I don't.
No. I mean, that song, it's not bad. Like if it just popped up in like a. Telling Alexa to play Christmas music and it popped up between like Mariah Carey's song and Paul McCartney's song, it wouldn't actually be that drastic of a change. Like no, it's
the,
not
the beat
bad,
fine. But like, she sings right. It well.
But to dissect it.
So you're saying we're doing it a disservice.
Yeah.
Like, well, if you heard it on a radio,
it was just background noise, it'd be fine.
Yeah,
if I was shopping exactly. At Target, I wouldn't even bat an eye at this song.
So what Travis is saying is that I'm a try-hard.
If you walked into like a Pick and Save or a whole whatever grocer that you have in your local area, and they were playing Christmas music, yeah. And that song popped up,
wouldn't even notice.
You would pay it no attention.
Yeah. Hey, Travis, the other day. I received an injury similar to the one that the Joker had in the Batman movies. You know, I cut the corner of my mouth.
Jeez.
And so I thought I would tell you how it happened, like, as the Joker. That would be a fun
bit. Did you walk around people saying, you know how I got this scar?
Well, I was going to do it for you. Yeah, you know how I got these scars, Travis?
You know how I got these scars?
I was using a metal spatula to get me a piece of cheesecake. And then there was some cheesecake left on the spatula, Travis. And I wanted to get the cheesecake off the spatula. And I cut the corner of my mouth.
You couldn't use a fork to scrape it off?
Let me do it. I want to do it. You know how I got these scars? There was a pan of cheesecake, and there was cheesecake left on the metal spatula, and I had to have the cheesecake, and it cut my mouth.
Very good, very good.
Good story, right?
Thank you.
It was a good story. You're an idiot, but yeah, it's a great story.
It's like that ranks up the injuries, like when I make the mistake of grabbing a hot cookie tit tray, you know, like a baking sheet out of the oven without something, like without it, like
how
a,
high do
like
you gotta be to do that though?
Well, no, what usually happens is because I don't use a pot holder, I use the towel on the front of the stove handle.
Sometimes it's a microfiber.
Yep, and yeah, sometimes you need to double it up to grab it out of there, and then sometimes. Dipshits don't make sure they actually have the towel in their entire hand and they just accidentally touch the pan right out of the oven. And then you get like that immediate super hot burn blister.
Yeah.
That's about the same injury.
I fell asleep watching the football game the other night, Travis. And when I woke up, the TV was still on and there was like a paid promotion for like some kind of medicine that helps you with your prostate. And what it was is it was a focus group of like 10 old guys talking about how they have problems peeing.
Okay.
And one of them had a cute little mustache. And so I was intrigued.
By a cute little mustache. It, like a Hitler?
If there's one thing you need to know about Mike is he's intrigued by cute little mustaches.
It was like pencil thin, but it like came down. It was like a, like two Nike swooshes.
Was like, was it like a Rolly Fingers?
I don't understand.
No, it was more of like a old boy from the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. But it was an older gentleman, and they kept flashing what their names were, and so I started Googling them, Travis. I'm laying in bed, watching an infomercial, and I'm Googling the names, and all of the names were
fake
actors. Like, they came up, and they were all actors. And so, like, the question, I guess, would be, like, why would they put their names up there if they were actors? And
because they don't actually have prostate problems.
Because most people, this is how it breaks down, is there is small print in these infomercials that say these are all paid spokespersons.
Yeah.
And second of all, if you don't see that, most people are not going to Google.
So they're just banking on me not Googling these, it.
Nobody's Googling the infomercial stars.
Yeah, I was about to say, I guarantee you, you see these guys in three other commercials and they were contested on The Price is Right.
Yeah, the only people that are you're Googling, you might Google Ron Popeil.
So I guess the WFOD question of the week, Travis, is it weird to Google the names of people in infomercials? Is that a weird thing to do?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I pulled clips, too. Is that weird? That's weird, too, right?
Yeah. No, let's play them.
Okay.
One of the scariest experiences I ever had, I went to the bathroom, I had to go really bad. And I couldn't pee. I could not pee. And I was freaking out, man. Scared. Yeah, what is the deal? Has that ever?
It's horrifying.
You have to go so badly and nothing's coming out.
These are actors with straight faces.
But it's weird things. Because like they're all actors. Okay, so are they acting in this infomercial? Say,
that does sound like a terrifying experience.
Listen, this is the same thing. If you remember the Friends episode where Joey Tribbiani goes out for the an ad campaign, and then he doesn't find out till they put it out
that it's
herpes.
Oh yeah, he's the face of herpes, right?
Yeah, and he doesn't find out until he's on the subway that he's the face of herpes.
Clip, Travis, we need to talk about this one because I'm not entirely sure what he says, but I have questions.
What I would do, go to the sink, sprinkle water on
my pants. Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Think about how complicated our lives were because of all of this.
Did he say he sprinkled water on his pubic area? Is that what he said?
I couldn't hear it over the guys saying, did that.
Listen to it again.
Yep. What I would do, go to the sink, sprinkle water all over.
What does that mean?
Pubic area.
He did say pubic area. Yep.
He sprinkled water over his pubic area. What does that mean?
So they went to try to get skipped over just running the water to make them have to pee.
Oh.
And went directly towards dumping water on his dick and balls.
But why? That makes you have to pee to dump water on your dick and balls?
Stimulation.
Oh.
Drunk, has dumping water on your dick and balls ever made you have to pee?
I've never attempted.
But then all the other guys are like, yeah, I dump water on my dick and balls too. Travis, are we fucking up? Are we not dumping water on our dick and balls? Is that a thing we should be doing?
Yep. Don't we dump water on our dick and balls every time we jump in the shower? Do you have to pee every time?
I was about to say, all I got to do is turn the water on for the shower and I'm pissing. So,
will you turn the shower on and you're like, oh man,
it's the piss.
This makes me have to piss.
And I picture drunk when he turns the shower on, it's like involuntary and he's pissing everywhere. He's pissing on the vanity, on the toilet paper roll. What used to be dry, now the toilet paper roll is soaked through. He's pissing on his towel, his lady's towel, the toothbrushes.
What are you talking
about?
He
hasn't even gotten in the shower yet. And it's like a goddamn fire hose that nobody's holding on to. And he's just pissing everywhere. And he's like, God, I got to get in the shower. I got to get in the shower. Oh, Jesus Christ. He falls in the shower and pulls the curtain close.
I can't control it.
Over everything.
It's going everywhere.
Son of a bitch. Oh my God, that's those are my lady's work clothes on the back of the door. I gotta close the curtain before I piss all over them.
Well, first of all, I've already pissed like 8 times during the night anyways. There's no way there's that much piss. Second of all,
I don't know. You seem like a guy who's got a got a lot of piss.
What if I'm one of those animals that turns on the shower like after he's already in the shower?
You got like drunk like is 14 monsters.
See, right, Travis, what I was doing with you when you were saying that you were painting a comedic picture. You were saying that drunk was like a fireman's hose, and obviously he's not. But drunk was just like, no, I'm not. I'm not like a fireman's hose. I've already peed a bunch of times, Travis.
Right. Yeah. The pee lasts about 8 seconds.
The man has come directly from his job, so it's hard to get into the artistic mind on the drive over through a bunch of cops in your neighborhood.
Right, nonetheless.
Travis, where did we leave off in the Weekends Only story?
He doesn't have Weekends Only because that's a St. Louis thing.
Yeah, but I told the story. So the warranty guys, they called Laura, and they told Laura, hey, we will give you a $500 credit for the half of the couch that we can't fix. And Laura said, well, I don't need half a couch. I either need our couch fixed or a new couch, right? Like, those are the two options. I can't get the whole half a couch.
What did the whole couch cost?
It was like $1,000
couch. About a grand?
Yeah. It's like one of those sectional deals. And
does the... I can't recall. Refresh my memory. Is the sectional doesn't work, or there's just like a tear?
There's a small tear that actually doesn't really matter.
Take
the $500, put the couch up on Craigslist for $500, and get yourself a new couch.
Oh, you take the $500, you put a blanket over the tear,
right,
and you live your life.
Well, it's $500 to be spent at Weekends Only.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah.
Tell them to give you a $500.
So they changed it, Travis, because Laura said, hey, we can't buy half a sectional couch. You know, we have a sectional. We either need to get the whole sectional or just fucking fix this one. And so they came back
for her for staying strong.
And they said, okay, we'll give you $1,000 to spend at Weekends Only, but you got to bring us that couch back. So
fuck you, come pick it up.
So that's where we're at. Where we're at now, they said, you bring this couch to us, and we'll give you a new couch.
You can have the couch.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're going to give us a new couch, cool.
Yeah. No, come pick it up.
That's what I'm saying. You can have the couch.
Right.
I'm not taking it to you.
Yeah, I would say that. I would say, give me the $1,000, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. I'll bring the couch in, and then never bring the couch in. What are they going to do?
They're going to send a repo man to come pick it up, Travis.
You never open the door.
They can have it. I don't need two couches. This one's too big as it is.
If the repo man does come, then they picked up the couch.
Okay, you got me.
$1,000.
Yeah.
You should have went across the street to Bob's. Here's your
couch. You can have this couch, I guess.
Weekends Only tomorrow.
You should have went across the street to Bob's.
Bob's Discount Furniture. Yeah. I don't like the little CGI guy.
It doesn't matter. Bob wouldn't have.
He wouldn't have fucked you like this.
He's got the good shit, though.
Travis.
He wouldn't have fucked you like
Bob's
this.
Bob's Bob Pedic. To your head down to your feetic.
Travis, you got a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about?
I hate what Drunk just saying.
I don't even know what he's saying. He's saying jingles now. Travis.
I hate it. Travis' pick of the week this week is the Succession Season 3 season finale. Finished up Succession today. It was amazing. Can't wait for season 4. I people know about Succession, so it's not like a thing that I need to tell people about. But if you are not watching Succession, that's a problem. You should do that.
Charles, can we book the little boy with no legs?
Well, he's a grown man now, Mike.
Can we just ask him questions about when he was a little boy, though? Like he was walking around on his hands in the ET costume.
Well, if he is going to conventions,
right?
If he is going to conventions, he's probably answering a lot of those questions anyway. So possibly.
Huh. Drunk pick of the week. Something you want to
know? Drunk pick of the week. It happened yesterday. Aaron Rodgers placed one more stake from Virginia McCloskey to own the Bears?
Two days ago, buddy.
Sorry, 2 days ago.
Your pick of the week is that Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears?
Well, no, he got another piece of the puzzle. He just owns them. Every game, he gets another stock.
The guy discount double checked him. That was really stupid.
And after that happened,
when he sacked him.
He discount double checked him, and then after that, he went on for like 330 yards and 3 touchdowns.
But he didn't smoke him. Aaron Rodgers did get smoked like 3 times. It was great. I don't pray for people to get injured in football. I really don't. I feel like it's a competitive sport. Nobody should ever get hurt except Aaron Rodgers. Always get hurt.
Do you like dislike him because he's a Green Bay Packer, or do you just dislike him as a man?
Both. Okay. It's compounded. Like I really wish one of the Bears team members would have just like stomped on his toe that's broken and been like, whoops.
As we know, these things are cyclical and it'll come back around eventually. So.
Fingers crossed, baby. I have been a Bears fan my entire life. I've experienced 2 Super Bowls and one of them was a loss. I'm 40 years old.
The problem 41. Is your owner is 97 years old and
she'll die soon.
Travis, pick of the week. Calling Nancy Reagan the throat goat. It's funny. I like it. Did you see the thing about how Nancy Reagan used to suck lots of dicks on the MGM lot?
What?
Is that why she's in the news right now? I see she's trending on all news channels and social media. Like Nancy Reagan is being brought up and I don't understand it.
Well, Ben Shapiro, you know who Ben Shapiro is.
Conservative radio host Ben Shapiro.
The guy that talks really fast. He has a sister, which I didn't know. And his sister posted something on Twitter about how Madonna's a hoe. Nancy Reagan, she's like a way classier lady than Madonna.
Yeah, there's like, this is Madonna at whatever age. This is Nancy Reagan at whatever age. Who would you rather be?
And so somebody pointed out that a gal wrote a biography about Nancy Reagan and said that back in the day, she sucked like every dick at the MGM lot. Was Nancy Reagan an actress?
I don't know.
I know Ronald Reagan was an actress. Maybe she was just around sucking dicks.
Yeah.
And they said that she was...
Well, if you don't want to gender it, everybody's an actor, drunk. Everybody's an actor.
Suck dicks in bedrooms.
He said was an actress.
And she sucked dicks in offices. She sucked dicks everywhere. And so somebody said,
But she was classy about it.
That makes Nancy Reagan the throat goat.
Yeah.
That's just a funny phrase.
Yeah, but do we honestly believe she was that good at it? I mean, because she sucked everybody off doesn't mean she was good at it.
That's true.
Like, also give me a total, right? Like, I want, like, a check marks. You know, I want, like, yeah, she was sucking all these dicks, but I really want to know.
Average duration of time, too, because, I mean, if she's
getting these dudes. Is that what you grade a blowjob on? Length of time she sucked the dick?
If she's getting you off in under a minute, that's a good blowjob.
That's true.
Yeah, if she's able to just like pump a few times. Now they say we're
fucking 10-15 minutes of blowjob. Those aren't great blowjobs.
Well, what if she's making it last on purpose?
This isn't a porno. That's not.
She's edging. That's the phrase. She's edging. Nancy I know Reagan's, what they call it.
That's not
Nancy
real
Reagan
life.
Is not Sting. She's not into tantric blowjobs. Come on.
Yeah, that's not real life.
No, most ladies want to get it over with anyway, right. So the faster, the better.
WFOD question of the week, Travis. Would you rather be Madonna or Nancy Reagan?
Madonna looks fucking terrible, by the way.
She don't look that. She's fucking, like, 58 years old.
She looks like she was stung by a bunch of bees.
I don't mean she looks bad because she's an older lady. I mean, she's bad because she's got so much plastic in her face.
Yeah, she's fucking terrible. She looks like she was stung by a bunch of bees, drunk. I don't like it.
Just age. Stop it.
But
stop shooting
the entirety of your life, Travis, would you have rather had Nancy Reagan's life or Madonna's life? Like,
Madonna,
if you had to choose.
63 years old.
Madonna, 100%.
Madonna probably
without a doubt
had to do a bunch more work, though, right?
No.
But it was probably fun work.
Yeah. She got to make that book. She wanted to just make a book called Sex, where it was just like her gaping vagina.
Are you looking up pictures of Madonna?
Let's cut all this out. This is the D. Wallace episode.
Yeah, what are we doing?
What are we doing here?
Guys, we did it, right?
Yeah.
Forget all this.
Yeah.
Talk.
Nancy Reagan, not the throat goat. She's just a classy lady, Travis.
Madonna is a pop superstar. Fine. It's all good.
Crack is whack.
I didn't bring it up, Travis. Somebody said that Nancy Reagan sucked a bunch of dicks. I thought it was newsworthy.
You are the one that brought it up.
I feel like this
I didn't create it.
But you brought it up. It's the conversation they had in Clerks, right? Like where the one broad didn't have a bunch of sex, but she sucked a lot of dicks. Snowballed that one guy.
What are you gonna do?
I'm doing
the life that we live.
Merry Christmas, Drop. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
This might be the Christmas episode. I don't know. The timeline's all fucked up.
Yeah, we're in the multiverse. Crazy.
I'm Joe Bannon.
If you're listening to this installment of WFOD, please subscribe and leave positive reviews on your preferred podcast player. Share the episode on social media or with one of your in-real-life friends. For links to our ever-expanding universe, including our Discord, our Twitch, and YouTube channels, and our library of back episodes, visit us at WFODshow.com. Thanks to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music used in this podcast. Thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Amanda, Valerie, Brian, and Liquid. Visit patreon.com/WFODix to help support the show. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-4263. Email us Mike or Travis at WFODix.com or reach out on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Goodbye.
Over. Well, bye.
Travis, that was fun. It was a fun show.
Oh, it was a blast. Yeah. I had a really good time, and it was an honor to talk to Dee Wallace. It was really good.
She's awesome. She just kind of, and she pretended to know us too, Travis. She said that you know, it's always a pleasure. We've never met Dee Wallace. What is she talking about?
Let's make sure we keep in contact and talk to her again. And she'd be like, remember that you always love talking to us?
Yeah, you always love D.
Let's talk to us again.
D fucking rules, Travis.
Yeah, D is the best.